see me pouring from the sky, let's get rich, what? The GK finds the sugar dimes, can't quit, what? Now pop the cork and see the Vega and get lit, what? Introducing Phantom of the Dark, walk through my heaven with levitation from the French trench and deep as
a nation. You have tuned into the For Profit Podcast live for the U.S. Open. I am your host, Haven B, here with my man, JD. Again, what up?
JD. Haven, I'm JD, you're Haven. Haven, how we doing, my man?
What's going on, man?
How's the Safeway? Stuart Sink, man. Everyone had him, right?
Wowzers.
Hey, we said field bet. I mean, that was like the only bet I made in outright market. So I'm going to chalk that one up as a nice little W.
Yeah, that was a... I mean, who had Stuart Sink?
Boy. You're just fucking adding to his pension, baby. He's just like, oh, I just came up a couple thousand a month right there.
Bro, that was scary good.
That was weird. Yeah. I mean, on the course where I thought Bombers were gonna absolutely dominate, he showed that, age is just a number, man.
Bro, that was impressive.
It was fun. I watched the whole thing down the stretch after the Niner game because there was nothing else on until the Sunday Night Football. And the dude was just – he was ice cold. It was fun. I mean, the guy, he's a major champion. You think he's getting real fucking excited about the Safeway Open? I mean, you know, he gets in the groove like that. He's not missing no way.
I'm like, Stuart Sink.
Who are you?
Like.
I mean, I know who you are, but. It's kind of funny.
Man. Wild, bro.
Let's just get this tournament over with. Let's just drop the what we did right, what we did wrong thing real quick and move along.
All right.
Where we were wrong.
I didn't have much last week. I think I mentioned
you didn't. You were smart. You didn't play anything.
Yeah. I did okay on the European tour. We didn't really talk about that. Harold Varner didn't. Jez Reavy whipped Harold Varner, so I was definitely wrong on that.
Okay.
I really should have went two units on Steele over Phil Mickelson. That was kind of the only thing I was pretty sure about.
Yeah. Phil looked like an absolute shit.
I mean, I'll tell you what was crazy. For all the top 20s, I bet, I didn't catch one.
No. Oh, shit. That's not good.
I mean, but when you looked at the board, it was like, huh.
Yeah.
Those are some guys I don't mind frequenting.
No doubt. Yeah. No, you're right. I went wrong on round by round, head to heads. I went 0-3, but that was it. Other than else, I fucking killed, to be honest. I love the Safeway. I love that shit. I've played that course a couple times. It's a nice track. That was it. I went 0-3. I got reverse swept in round three, but everything else was wonderful. So can we brag yet or no?
Well, we were right.
Keep this real quick. Field bet, easy money. I think I went 5-2 in full tournament head to heads. 4-2 in full tournament head to heads. Super interesting because I went 0-2 at the cut line and then went 4-0 after. So that's fun. And then I think I swept the first round three balls. Yeah, I went 2-0 in the first round three balls. So I had actually a really good tournament. Whatever. It's fun. It was a nice little break, to be honest with you. We've been going extremely hard. So right before US Open, did some US Open research over the weekend while I was watching Stewie hang out. And obviously, football's back. So. It was a good tournament. It was fun. Whatever.
Don't take us for granted. I mean, winning is hard. If you don't believe me, go ask your bookie.
Right? Motherfucker hasn't gotten much for me lately, that's for sure. Especially when you got some smart-ass dudes on football and you just absolutely crush. So, okay, that's good. Safeway, done. Nice little primer. There are some things we can take away from the Safeway. Phil being one of the worst. Phil and Spieth, I mean, holy shit, guys. Like, those guys are done. I can't wait. I mean, we need to find some fades here at the U.S. Open, obviously. But I think it's time to get into it. Let's get into
the U.S. Open. I was actually happy that Phil played, like his score was okay. Like he didn't like miss the cut. Like, so hopefully we get like a nice matchup with him.
Yeah.
No Moving doubt. Forward. Moving on to the U.S. Open. Played at Wingfoot Golf Club.
120th? Is that what it is? Something like that.
A.W. Tillinghast course. Par 70, 7,000. 469 yards of pure hell.
Beefy. Pure hell.
Poana. Greens 80% bent. So it's a mix of Poana bent.
Mostly Poa.
In New York City. Corollary the courses Apple will City. Be Firestone, Harding Park. Last four winners, Gary Woodland, Brooks Koepka, of course, and DJ.
Brooks is so good.
I
miss him. Come on, Brooksy.
The
idiot.
Boy, I tell you what, we had an angle on him, and he shattered our dreams quite willfully, didn't he?
We were ready to unload on him, weren't we?
It's going to play extremely tough. What do you think? Like 3 under or something?
No, I don't think it gets to under. I think it'll be even, over, one over. I don't know how they get the three. There's only two par fives. There's only two par fours where you can score. So they have four scoring holes. I don't really understand how they make enough birdies.
So I've seen some videos circulating on social media how thick the first cut of rough is at 3 inches.
Yeah.
Second cut, 6 inches. Six.
That's wild.
Looking like that 1970s vagina, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, we can go a lot of directions with that one. The other thing is interesting, and you know, it's really difficult to take much from previous U.S. Opens held on the same golf course. Obviously, it's 06, I believe, Ogilvy won. But that week, it was very difficult. Technology is a little bit better now, but they've also renovated it to make it more difficult.
Right.
Put extra yards on it. They redid the green complexes to give them like these crazy false fronts, and all the greens are crowns. So, like they all sit above the fairway, so you're basically hitting uphill a couple yards to even get it up onto the greens. And if you're short, it runs off. If you're, you know, left or right, it just hits and bounds out, usually into some pretty thick rough or bunkers that are look pretty gnarly. And the greens themselves are crazy. Like I did this flyover, the Fried Egg guys? They're a great follow on Twitter.
Yeah, I did really, they did, really like, good.
Yeah, they did a full kind of breakdown, and they had Ogilvy and the guy who redesigned it, and they were just like, yeah, these greens are fucked. Good luck. Like, and they haven't had any rain, and they're not going to get any rain, so they can just do whatever they want to it. USGA has always been kind of, you know, they've definitely come close to losing courses before, and maybe some would say they have. So
Some would say they have. Some would say Donald Trump is kind of orange.
Yeah, I don't mind when they lose the course. I don't give a shit. Like, these guys are the best in the world. They get challenged once a fucking year. Like, shut the fuck up and play. Everyone's playing the same shit. Like, I don't understand that. But either way, a couple of stats that were super interesting to me. Only the field itself averaged less than 50% greens in regulation in 06, and the field averaged 40% scrambling rate in 06, which means the greens are hard to hit and no one can get up and down. So to me, that says you're going to.
Is this the one they lost?
No.
Who won at 06? Retief?
Ogilvy.
Oh, this is the one where Phil knocked it out of bounds. It wasn't that bad. No, this one. Yeah, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. I think Ogilvy won it. Like, I think he won it like plus one, didn't he?
No. I'm just saying, like, it wasn't like I've seen some ridiculous
unfair. Ones. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, definitely wasn't unfair. It's just a really good golf course. It's just a wonderful golf course. And it's more fun to watch these tournaments because you don't know what's going to happen. Even if these guys pump it in the middle of the fucking fairway, you don't know where the hell their iron shot's going to go. It could hit. It could bounce. It's just fun, man. Like, when you're watching these birdie fests and it's like driver, pump, 350 down the middle. Oh, flip wedge to 2 feet, tap in. Like, that's just boring. Like, I like to watch things where I don't know what's going to happen next. And so when you get these kind of golf tournaments where, you know, the course play is so difficult that like even the best players in the world don't really know where it's going. That's to me is a lot of fun because, you know, you see balls hit the green and it's like, holy shit, that thing just took off down into the bunker or some shit. Makes it way more fun. And then you get like, you know, breaking, you know, 5 footers that are fucking like 5 foot breakers and they have no chance to make it. So you see like guys like shanking putts that we do. Like, it's just, to me, that's just, I love watching this shit. I will watch all 12 hours on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
I love the fact and U.S. Opens that somebody is posting,
yeah,
and it's kind of like, yes, yeah, yes, go ahead, come see get me, does. You know,
come get me, yeah,
yes. Rarely from the last two groups is like, so I kind of
they're going to shit the bed too. Here's the nice thing about this course in particular with what you're saying. It's funny you mention that. The hardest six of the eight hardest holes are 13 or I believe 13 through 18 have four of the eight hardest holes. like the closing is just insane. So if a dude can get into the clubhouse without pressure, get in there, who the fuck knows what can happen. It's going to be a super fun watch. And the U.S. Open is the best because they give you round by, they give you full coverage, man. You get the, from the fucking start to the finish. We're going to be betting on everything. And there's a shitload of players. I started going through the head-to-heads. I'm like, I spent like an hour trying to get through these things. I also have ADD, so I get fucking really easily distracted. Shocker, right? And I couldn't even, like, I don't even think I got halfway through the fucking head-to-heads. I already have like a second 1,000 head-to-head bets. We're going to do that tomorrow. We will have two podcasts, by the way. We're going to do another head-to-head, top five, top 10, whatever. Probably maybe some first-round leaders. Who the fuck knows? But that's all going to be tomorrow. Today, just to kind of break it down before we go into our little deal here, we're just going to talk a little bit about everyone at the top of the market. Basically, the top 18 guys. We might sprinkle in a couple, you know, behind that. But I think, Haven, you would agree, right? Like, the winner is coming from up top here, right?
The winner is coming from the top. The cream of the crop always tend to kind of come up during these majors. You kind of know it's like every – who was the last
– Keegan.
No. The last one to win the U.S. I think it was Lucas.
Glover. Yeah.
I think many would say Gary.
Yeah, I mean, Gary's 80, but he was still in the top 50 world golf ranking.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, I think Gary was, it's just a little ambiance for the crowd, my friend.
Can't hear anything.
You can't hear anything. Just check the guys in the chat. See if it's too loud for them.
I can't hear a word. You gotta cut that. Oh,
God. You gotta get some new. You gotta get some new headphones.
Okay, that's better. We're gonna have to technical difficulties. First time trying to do this. We'll have it better. Don't worry.
Jeez. Let's see here.
You want to start breaking these fools down?
We might as well.
Let's do it. Let's get into it.
All right, DJ is number one.
Wait, where's the top of the board drop?
Oh, God.
Come on, man. This is what the people come here for. They don't care about us.
Top of the board. Golfers, top of the board.
They don't care about us. They care about the jobs.
All right, top of the board. Mr. Dustin Johnson, well-deserved. Mm-hmm. This guy is a flat-out beast. Mm-hmm. Driving, iron play, putting.
Randomly putting.
What is he like? I think his worst finish in the last one's like eighth or something.
Yeah, I mean, he's on a whole nother fucking level.
He's on a whole nother level. I'm talking about U.S. Open finishes. He's like one of the best U.S. Open players in history.
Yeah, let's see, U.S. I'll just look right now. I mean, obviously, he's been playing him for fucking ever because he's randomly an old guy. Like, I mean, let's just call it what it is. I wouldn't say old, obviously, but like
he's a veteran.
He's around. Like, dude has some fucking miles on him, and he's out here just pimping it. It's wild.
He's in great shape.
35th, third, missed the cut. First, second, fourth, 55th, missed the cut. Yeah. I mean, it's really good. Don't get me wrong.
Maybe I'm thinking about his last few events. Like the last few events, like eighth or something.
I mean, he wouldn't. I mean, he had a head start in the Tour Championship, and he wouldn't have won a full stroke play event, but. So it's kind of hard. He didn't play great at the Tour Championship by any means. He basically broke even across the board. And then he gained in putting for the fourth straight event. And obviously he's going to gain off the tee every single time. Randomly gained 2.5 around the greens. So that's really good. And, when you have that kind of chipping form coming into a golf course where you're going to miss greens, obviously a good thing. Rightfully the top of the market, although bookmaker has moved John Rahm ahead. What do you think about that?
I really like John. This is like the course I actually been waiting on John Rahm to finally get to where he, and he's, I tell you what, he is hot. I mean, Dustin Johnson is an inferno. Then John Rahm is like a phoenix.
Yeah. you're absolutely right. You know, this is the thing with these majors. They're huge opportunities because you're able to add guys throughout the year, and you do this as well as anyone. And it allows you to have a card that for me, is specifically the way that I approach a golf tournament. And so I'm able to like add guys based on numbers that I grab early, which allows me to go up to the top. So I have a bet on John Rahm. I have a bet 10, 15. He's definitely moved off that. He's at 850 now, which is probably the true number. So, you know, it's good to get to the market first. But, I mean, to me, this golf course sets up perfect for him. It neutralizes his biggest weakness, which is his iron play. Nobody's hitting it close. Like, that's just like, you know, he's going to score on the par five, so he'll get his birdies there. And, you know, generally, these guys are not going to be having tap-in birdies. So being insanely accurate with your irons, while it will help, obviously, and he's not, like, terrible, he's just not elite, his ability to drive the ball straight, he is by far the best combination of driving distance and driving accuracy. Fairways gained is the stat that I use to determine that. There's not anyone close to him. He's like 20th in one and 35th in the other. So, I mean, it's not remotely close. So when you combine that with the fact that the dude is one of the best putters in the world, and you're going to need that on these wild ass greens that are fucking like, they're like carnival greens. Like they're just canyon and shit. Perfect setup for him. I love him this weekend. I'm not a big fan of him. Everyone knows that. I've talked shit about him as world number one, but he's shown enough to me in the last month and a half that to me, this is a perfect spot.
Beast mode.
Absolutely. And then you got JT at 14. Like that's crazy. That's kind of high.
Yeah, I will say, given his form coming in, just compared to that's probably more than fair number. Maybe.
Better than the other two.
His upside is okay, you know. Yeah. What is he? Let's see, the last four events. He's coming in gaining on approach, which is good.
Well, he's the best iron player in the world besides my son. So he just can't putt. The dude just fucking sucks at putting. Everything else is amazing. If he could gain four strokes putting in any golf tournament, he wins automatically.
Like, you can say that about everybody in the top five, though.
I mean, Rom can gain four and not win. DJ, obviously, if he gains four, he's winning. But, you know, he has been winning, and he's been gaining four. So it kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I don't see why – I'm looking – and, again, these are bookmaker prices. So I don't see why JT is a longer shot, and it's not by much, but I think he's in a different class than Rory and Xander right now. And Rory and Xander at bookmaker are shorter prices, just by 50 cents. So it's not like a huge deal, but
okay.
I think those guys are I think those top three are clearly in their own class, and Rory and Xander and Colin are kind of in their own, and then it's another tier. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree that Justin Thomas's upside is, you know, phenomenal. Like, Justin Thomas can be the number one player in the world.
Yeah.
Hits fun. Dude, he hits some of the most amazing three woods. Him and Rory just hit some of the most ridiculous three woods I've ever seen in my life. So I'm going to put him in the bullpen. You know, maybe he'll fall back and I see maybe the conditions are going to be decent for maybe an early round Sunday. Maybe I'll get him. No reason to jump on him now, though.
And here's one thing, like, if everyone's going to miss putts, maybe that's an angle. Like, I don't know. I've had that thought. I was like, do I want good putters or is everyone just going to suck at putting? I'm leaning toward just wanting good putters. And you know me, I'm not really a putter guy. Like, it's really difficult to you know, putting is the least telling attribute, you know, moving forward, because it's just really random. You know, I mean, you miss it by an inch and you gain fucking a stroke or, you know, or not. Like, it's not super easy to do. So this is the first week that Rory is just kind of bottomed out in my numbers. I make him like eighth here, which means I should be fading him in head to heads.
I make him seventh, so yeah, about the same.
Like, and you know, so I mean, the guys ahead of him are obviously the normal guys. I do have Xander ahead of him. I have Colin ahead of him. I have Berger ahead of him.
You have Colin?
Oh, in my model?
You have Colin over Rory?
Yeah, my mom absolutely does. 100%. It's not even close.
Mara God. God bless you, Mara God. Thank you for winning and not choking in the clutch. You're the...
That's my guy. I'm not betting him here. I probably will come to fucking regret it. But the market, I mean, dude, he's 18 to 1.
Bro,
that's respect, man. Respect, game guy, respect game. Like, that's fucking good number, dude. We've come a long way, bro. We've come a long way.
He used to be in that Justin Rose, Adam Scott tier.
That's what I'm saying. Now he's the sixth favorite, but he probably should be the fourth. I think he should, bro. I have him as, let's see. I have him as the sixth favorite here.
Think her baby's graduated?
He's been, well, you win a major. Now it's fucking, now you're on another world. Now it's like, how many majors are you going to win? It's not like, you know, winning, you know, doing well at the fucking Schwab or winning whatever he won. It doesn't matter. Now it's all about those majors. So I like him here, but whereas PGA Harding set up okay for his lack of distance because it was a full 200 yards shorter, more importantly, driver wasn't necessary. Driver distance wasn't as important as it will be this week. I think his lack of distance, although he is very straight, he's one of the best fairway gains on tour. He hits little fucking bunted bullets down the middle of the fairway every time. And his six iron is better than most people's eight iron. Like, I get that. I'm just wondering if he has the distance to compete with the big boys here.
I don't know, bro. The pedigree. You know what? Something you may want to look at this week is putts from 5 to 10 yeah. feet.
I like that.
And not only just putting 5 to 10 feet, but also guys who tend to embrace adversity.
Mm-hmm. Grinders.
That's something you might want to look into. And
we got some grinders on the card. Don't you fucking worry. You already know where we're going with the grinder side.
One thing I will say about Morikawa and Xander, interestingly enough, is Xander really, like, he doesn't get flustered. Like, and when he makes a double, you know, he's like, all right, that hole's over and we're just going to move on. Unlike some other guys we're going to mention a little bit
later. Rom might be in that other group, right? I mean, let's be real here.
Yeah, but you know what? Rom shows his emotion, but if you look at his stats after a double, he usually doesn't implode.
Yeah.
You know, he just, you know, he's feisty. And
I don't mind it.
For everybody talking shit about his feistiness and how upset he gets, he's number one in the world. I remember some guy named Tiger. How come they don't say shit when Tiger did it?
That's true. Tiger was fucking, he was motherfucking everyone out there. Like, I mean, he didn't hit very many bad shots. So, you know, it's kind of hard to get mad, but he was definitely a pissed off golfer.
Bro.
I'm with you, man. I don't mind Ron's
wrong. I don't mind it, bro. I don't mind either.
As long as he's not throwing clubs. This one time in high school, I fucking hit a bad shot. And I'm a fucking idiot. Obviously, I'm like fucking 16. And I take my 7-iron and I just fucking, right at my bag, just fucking hit my bag as hard as I can, and snap my driver in half, obviously, because the driver graphite shaft, and you hit it with a fucking iron, and it's gonna snap, you dumb fuck.
It's not so that was smart.
Fun. Yep, I had to paint the goddamn fence to buy a new driver. That was super fun. Anyways, neither here nor there. Little aside, little 14-year-old James pissed off because he couldn't hit a fucking 7-iron close. But yeah, so Xander is a real. I'm sensing a lot of popularity for Xander. I get it, but he is not in the class of golfer that he's being priced by.
The number's wrong.
It's fucking way wrong, and I don't want to pick on him because I understand big handler X, Y, and Z, but like. He hasn't shown anything. He's never won a major. He hasn't won in a really long time, actually. And when you put him in a class, like, why would Morikawa, why is Xander shorter than Morikawa? Morikawa is just a better golfer right now. It's not even a question.
Yes.
Why is Xander the same price as Rory, for fuck's sake?
So, you know, we always see, you see these numbers and you're like, okay, if you really think he's that number, then match him up. And the books will tell you, oh, yeah, we don't think they're the same golfer.
We don't actually think that's the same. Right. So give me fucking. And again, we have to mention that, you know, I mean, books are not, they don't price head to heads the same as outright. They just don't do that. They match guys up who are similarly priced in outrights. But the outright market and the head to head market are two completely different animals. And there's really not a whole lot of correlation between your outright price and your head to head price, mostly because they will get their asses banged if they post a bad head to head number, or if they post a bad outright number because of their hold percentage, it's fine. Like, they're not going to get destroyed by it. So when I go to Xander's head to head, and I haven't looked at this, by the way, see, even this Morikawa's plus 11. I'm betting that.
Betting it. I'd be hammering it.
Morikawa's just a better golfer than he is right now. So that's a bet. Rory is, I'm sure there's a Rory Xander number here. Oh, there we go, right there. Rory's minus 115. So, I mean, that's, you know, like, they're making it 55%. I mean, that's probably about right for Xander Rory over Xander, 55. That's about right. So I won't bet that one. But Colin should not be a dog to him. There's no way.
Wow, look at this. Any other player to win?
Then who?
Then DJ, Ram, Thomas, Rory, Xander, Morikawa.
Just let me guess. Let me guess. So you're talking the top five?
Six.
So, DJ, Rory, Rom, Shoffley, Thomas, Morikawa.
See.
One of those fuckers are winning, though. It's got to be like any other player. Am I getting like plus 350?
Well, it's 1.6. So I think it was.
I meant the other guys would be plus 350.
No. The 1.6, I think, is like you're losing money. You're losing.
Yeah. No, the field should be. No. I meant those three guys. Those six guys should be plus 350 to win. But that doesn't make any sense either. If one's eight, that doesn't make any sense. That's actually the worst analysis I've ever fucking done. That's terrible. No, that makes sense. I mean, I think that makes sense. But, I mean, just Xander should not be there, dude. The guy's, I mean, he's a really good player. And I get it, he's a big game hunter. I get it. But you're a big game hunter. Sooner or later, you got a fucking bag of big game.
100%.
Like, you're a big game, like, second place hunter. Like, like, what the fuck? We're talking about how can you be a big game hunter when you haven't even won a major?
Hey, listen, you're preaching to the choir here as far as that goes. Now
so let's move down to
let's go to the second tier.
Let's go. We got all aboard it.
Oh boy, are we
all aboard the Bryson train?
Get you, motherfuckers.
Get your tickets ready.
Hey. Bryson, I wish I could quit you.
I can't
do it. And you know what? Look, this is the best part.
This should be
the
good.
Best part is that his number is more than fair. I think I'm pretty sure I grabbed Bryson 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it, by the way. I just looked at some old Bovada numbers that I found.
Yeah.
Bro, there's a time to gamble on a tough, hard track.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in. At 26, whatever it is?
Yeah, whatever.
I'm in.
You get up to 27.50.
I got a better. I think I got him at 30-something, you know, a while back. I'm just saying, like, for
Oh, yeah. My actual number is 30, so I mean, yes. Which I love. I mean, that's a fucking win, so... I mean, that's easy. But, yeah, I mean, here you go. He's like a worse ROM right now. He's amazing with the driver. He's an amazing putter. But he is just way worse with his irons right now. And he's kind of a mental case. If he gets that driver going, I mean, I don't know. It's really hard to make a case because he has been really bad on approach. Like, utterly historically bad. It's been fucking terrible. He's lost on approach in six of his last seven, including 6.2, 7.1, 5.4. Like, losing that much on approach, and the guy is a worker. Like, he's not some fucking slapdick. The dude fucking grinds.
Was I was just about to say that. You know he's not going to quit. I know he's not going to quit. He is a decent putter from 5 to 10 feet.
He's a great putter.
And just remember, if he was playing fantastic... we wouldn't be getting 26.
Mm-mm. This kind of seems, this feels like a Brooks Light kind of thing. Like it's clearly not Brooks. Brooks has won a fucking 1,000 tournaments and he's amazing at majors. But let's not forget, Bryson has all the pedigree you need to win a major. He has been, he's got the USAM, he's got a fucking NCAA, he's got, six wins on tour? Like, the dude knows how to win golf tournaments. He's a little quirky. People don't like him, so that's why we're getting... this is kind of like the Patrick Reed effect here. I think that's what we're getting. I think we're getting a number that just because people won't want to bet him, so we're getting a better number than what we should.
Yeah.
And we'll, and we have to take advantage of that shit. And we're going to talk about fucking Patrick Reed because that is insane. But let's continue. So we got Bryson Webb. I have him. I grabbed him at, let's see.
He's my pool guy.
45-1, but I don't think I would bet him at 26.
I think the last two U.S. Opens, like 16, 16, 14, something like that. Pretty good.
Jesus. Is that just because he's just so fucking solid and never makes mistakes?
I mean, Petita Green, Webb is...
how many is fucking... he's an amazing putter too now.
I'm just saying, bro.
Yeah.
He's pretty.
Now, but here's the thing. It's kind of what they're saying. Does he have the distance to be able to compete?
He's got the. I think the U.S. Open is more about a mentality.
Okay. Okay.
All I don't think it's everything having to do with distance. You know, I think it's just like, look, I'm gonna get out of here. I'm gonna do what I do.
Yeah.
I'm gonna accept. You know that I'm gonna hit. You know, I'm gonna lay up. Might lay up on a par four.
I saw a dude laying up on par threes here. Number 10, I think it is.
Great wedge player. Yeah. So, you know, that's just the way I'm looking at it here.
I think you're right, though. It's this is a who is not going to lose their attitude kind of a golf, a kind of a setup, right? Like, and when you look at Webb, I mean, he has a U.S. Open. You know, so clearly he's not losing his attitude. I don't mind. I just, that number to me is a little high, although he has been so fucking good. 27. I think, you know what? It's not high. It's right. That's a good number.
Yep.
Anything on Cantlay?
How many times you seen how many times you seen shuffles on TV?
I can't watch them. I mean, dude is a cool guy from all intents and purposes. Everything that I understand, great story, but bro, like, hit the fuck ball. Just hit it, dude.
Bro, it is.
Stop shuffling your fucking feet over a putt. How can you win a major and shuffle your feet like that? You're so uncomfortable. Look, he's doing like a little fucking jig. I don't even know what you would call it.
Shuffles, Patrick McShuffles Cantlay.
Dude, it's so bad,
bro.
And then they'll go to Cantlay, and then he'll start shuffling, and they'll cut over to another putt, and they'll cut back, and he's still fucking shuffling. It's like, dude, this guy needs to fucking figure it out, dude.
They're starting to do it where they cut to a mid shuffle. Like, yeah. So the 10 seconds of shuffle is gone by. And then it's like, oh.
What happens is, no, this is, yeah, you're right. What happens is they go to him, you know, when he's kind of behind the ball, getting starting his pre-shot routine. They go to him, and then someone in the fucking tent is like,
we got to get off Patrick because he's going to take a little while here. So let's go to camera three.
It's almost like when another guy, when a guy gets distracted. By another ball, he's like, starting with him. He's like, okay, we're going to cut over to Xander on three.
Yeah. And then he's got a three-footer. And he's just finished shuffling, and now he's hitting the ball.
And back to Patrick. Oh, and
Patrick hasn't stopped fucking shuffling.
he's going to be a while. Let's move on. We got Xander in a bunker on 12.
What's interesting is I watched some college stuff from him, and...
Oh really?
He wasn't. I mean, he was still doing the same thing.
He was number one amateur in the world at one time. So, here's what you know, it's funny because I don't know if you've seen Jordan Spieth's driver swing in his setup.
Oh, bro,
he can't pull the fucking trigger on that thing.
This ain't new.
That's how you know it's bad.
This ain't new. That's what I'm trying to tell you, bro. Jordan, I was telling people even when Jordan was good.
Yeah,
bro.
It's like, this ain't gonna end well.
this thumb right here. That thumb, bro. Jordan Spieth has, bro. Jordan Spieth has one of the top five ugliest grips. It's like this.
Oh, it's the worst.
Anyway.
We're not gonna talk about him. You know why? Because he is not anywhere fucking near the top 18.
No. Hell no.
He'll be well talked about tomorrow, without a doubt. So anyway, so we have Cantlay 37.50. I mean, you know, I think that's a bettable number.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, burn it up. What's your bookie laugh at you?
Fuck that. I'm not betting about that. My card's good. Like, I like where I'm at, but I'm not about that. Okay.
So basically,
guy,
we kind of...
This is the fucking guy who is the most mispriced in this entire... Well, there's two. This is the number one most mispriced guy, in my opinion. There's no reason why Daniel Berger should be 36-1. There's just no reason. I make him fifth in this tournament. I make DJ, Rom, JT, Colin, Berger.
I game out Berger, Thomas, Xander for some reason. Dustin Webb. That's,
yeah. Why is Berger 36? Berger should be with Colin. Like, I get Colin one of the fucking major. I understand. Like, you know, I get it. But, and I do have, I have more Colin ranked a little higher. Berger is, this is, he is fucking insane at everything. Like, he just does everything amazingly. He's straight. He's not super long off the tee, but he still gains strokes on the off the tee. He is sixth in scrambling in this field over the last 50 rounds. One, and to be sixth in scrambling, you have to be a great putter. One of the best on approach in this field. The dude has an all-around game. You don't win majors with having a hole in your game. You have to have it all. This number is so fucking bad. Like, I have him at 50. I actually have him at 200, but, like, I'm not throwing that out there. I have him at 200. I have him at 110. I have all kinds of fucking Daniel Berger. Like, if on Sunday, I'm making a fucking burger, dude. Like, I want to have, like, a fucking grade A. If he wins this shit, I'm going to be on my grill, and I'm going to have the best fucking burger you've ever fucking had in your life.
Side note, you're from California. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with a place called Fuddruckers?
Oh, of course.
Well, I don't know. Bro, you're wrong. It's fine. I mean, this is what you need to do. Is there one by you? Is there one in San?
No, because they all went out of business. Because it's not that good.
There's lots that went out of business that's going out of business.
I mean, have you had Slater's 50-50?
Bro, listen to me. Go okay. Before they go out of business, go get the Bison Burger.
Ooh. Okay.
Bison Ooh, Burger from Fuddruckers.
A little leaner?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Very much. Okay. Now, hold on. Let me know, can you hear still? Or does it?
The tunes? Too loud. Still too loud.
About there.
I don't know. Still, I don't.
You can't hear?
I can't hear anything. Oh, shit. Hold on. We don't have it. No one's really watching this. So let's just do it like a podcast. I need to promote it. I think you're right.
Yeah, maybe.
Might work. But anyways, let's back to the burger. 36. That's my favorite bet. Well, my second favorite bet. My first favorite bet, the number is fucking out of this world gone. But I love Berger here. I don't know. There's no hole in this dude's game. Are you going to have an outright on Berger before it goes off? Because you're not. You like to get in late. And I respect you for that. And you're smart for that. That is the way to bet golf, I think. I just don't have the attention span to do that shit. I have to get in before. Because I'm out there fucking drinking claws, playing golf. Like, I don't have that. I can't do that shit. So are you going to get on Berger before?
I'm going to get on Berger. If he just gets under par at any point, I'm gonna get a piece.
You don't have a pre-tournament bet.
I think I'm late to the party. I just don't think there's any reason I should just bet it now. Like,
I think there's still value in this number. I make him like fucking 20, and he's 36.
Hmm.
Morikawa's 18. I make him like 21.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna disagree.
My favorite bet. I fucking love this guy, and I back him all the time. I mean, he's just everything. Look, okay, I'm gonna just go through this shit real quick, because you know how we build out the custom stat model, obviously, on Fantasy National. Shout out, hey Fantasy National, what's up with the little fucking sponsorship, man? We pump you guys. I literally pump you to everyone.
He's in the chat.
I'm gonna reach out to Moose.
Well, I got him. I'm in his DMs.
Oh shit, like sliding
like a cheap thought.
You all have been there. No, I'm just kidding. He seems like a really nice guy. This is loading. I'll come back to it. Okay. But that's my favorite bet. Decky cannot putt well enough to win this golf tournament, right?
Right.
Okay. Can we move on from him?
Oh. You know,
we have to stop. Okay. All right.
I might grab a piece of Decky because really? He is hitting the ball pretty well.
Okay.
I mean, we might as well go ahead and talk about some pools that people are going to be in. He's one of my pool guys.
Yeah, tomorrow's the pool day.
Okay, fine.
I mean, gaining strokes. I'm going to give a fuck, but tomorrow we're going to, like, it's going to be like, hey, did you listen to the podcast? Cool. Like, I'm ready. Are we going to do a pool?
I mean,
I've been asked. It's so much work, but I think we'll do a pool this week.
Okay. Gained 3 strokes last 3 tournaments? Oh, well, roughly. I like Decky. To a championship against approach.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. He's amazing on approach.
I'm just saying, like, God, you.
He's can't putt, bro.
I'm putting him in the. I'm going to put him in the bullpen.
Oh, I can hear a little beat back there. That's nice. Okay.
Yeah, a little nice chill.
I don't see how a guy who putts as poorly as he does can win this golf tournament. Unless everyone puts bad, so then everyone just sucks at putting, which is possible. Two schools of thought there. Don't worry about that. Tommy Fleetwood is 38-1. What the fuck is going on with Tommy Fleetwood?
Tommy Fleetwood played amazing last week.
I don't give a fuck how you play.
I don't give a fuck how you played on the European tour.
Is in the field. Like I got you got a couple club pros. You got some fucking amateurs. Like you should have won. I don't get that.
He's good.
The tour is so bad.
I don't think he's gonna win, but.
Have you seen the guys who come W's on that fucking thing? It's like, this guy wouldn't even, is he the best Corn Ferry Tour, which we will talk about tomorrow, because there is an interesting Corn Ferry bet of the number one Corn Ferry guy versus Chez Reavie. I have a pretty strong opinion on. But like, bro, this dude lost 6.3 strokes on approach at the Wyndham and 6.6 strokes on approach at the Northern Trust. All of a sudden, after 2 weeks, you're fucking Tiger Woods? I don't get that. I mean, I guess he can fix it pretty quick. He's a really good ball striker, but he has not been good.
Yeah. So are you fading? I mean, what are you talking about? You're talking about you're going to fade the guys next. You're going to fade him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I'm looking right now.
Finau and Patty?
Yeah. They know what's up with Patty, though. Everyone knows what the fuck is up with Patty. If Patty wins this thing, let's just talk about Patty. Fuck Finau. Let's talk about Patty. Patty Reed, this is unbelievable for him.
How did he, it'd be interesting to see what his form was going into that Masters that he won. Because,
that was kind of.
What year was that, two?
I don't know, buddy. I mean, it wasn't bad. I don't think it was bad by any means. Actually, I have it. Hold on.
I know they have it on PGA Tour Media. They'll have
going into his that Masters. Let me look here. Northern Trust. Let's see. Oh, no, I don't have it. Never mind. I don't know. I don't know. I don't really care. All I know is this dude has 9 wins on tour and he's being priced like a fucking, like he's a bum.
I shouldn't say that
because he's at 30 now. But like, who in their right minds opens fucking Patrick Reed, a major winner, a 9-time winner on tour, one of the best hard golf course players there is, because all he does is scramble around like a fucking crazy man at 43-1.
I think it comes down to like,
that's wild.
It's wild, but it's just, he hasn't won this year, which
I think he won WGC Mexico.
I mean, since the restart post pandemic, call it.
I mean, at this point, Patty's just, he's big. You talk about big game hunting. Patty doesn't give a fuck. He just wants to win majors.
Yeah, so I'm just saying.
31 is a lot better number. That's a lot closer. 43, which everyone must have destroyed it because it is not available anymore. But that is a better number, I would say. I still think there's value there. He probably should be more like 25, which you're not getting a ton. It's really hard to make a number on Reed just because he will never really pop in models, especially on a golf course like this.
Right.
So it's like, I don't really trust my numbers on him just because I know the kind of player he is. He's lost strokes on approach in 3 straight, but then he gained 4 at the Wyndham. He's gained off the tee basically the entire post break, which is interesting because he's never really been a bomber.
No.
But that is what's going to be necessary here. Super straight, super accurate over his last 24. And then, you know, I mean, he's one of the best scrambler fucking grinders there is. Like, I don't even know if there is a better one. So to me, this is a perfect Patty Reed. I could see a Burger Reed ROM just fucking deathmatch down the stretch. Those are my 3 favorite guys.
Who? No, your 3 favorite are Patty Reed, yeah, ROM, and Burger? Yeah. I'm trying to see where he came out on my model. Let me see here.
It's going to be low, dude. He's super low on mine. But I mean, but when you dive in.
When you dive in.
You got to dive in. You can't just look at the numbers. You got to see why. Answer the fucking why question. Too many people just want to spit it out. Like, take the time, bring up the guys, see what the fuck they're doing.
I feel bad for Scotty Scheffler.
Oh, that's sad. Yeah, he's not gonna win. But
you know what? He really needs to check and make sure it's not a false positive. Like, he needs to do a test every day.
I mean, there's a good chance it's a false positive.
Yeah. At least see. I mean, you're coming in playing the best golf of your life.
Yeah, about to make a shitload of money too. That's what fuck sucks. To do top 10. What's the top 10 get here? 100,000?
Yeah, roughly. I don't know. You know what? They might be getting 2 mil for this thing.
What do you mean?
The winner.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's got to be. I would imagine. So yeah, the top tens are gonna be getting fucking paid. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Bottom of the sheet. My favorite. Or Fina, bottom of this part. Fina?
Your boy. That's your boy.
Oh my god.
That is your best friend.
I'll tell you one reason why he's my best friend. Because in majors,
at least you admit it.
No. I'm going to tell you why. It's because now don't forget, even though I've been betting him, he's been murdering head to heads in majors.
Oh,
100%. So I've been making money on it. I just haven't made the big one.
There hasn't been a big one since fucking 17, man.
Ugh, boy.
I love him.
I do. Yeah. This is he going to be your pool guy?
You're going to have to see ownership. The pools are game theory stuff. We'll get into that a little bit more. We need a little more information on, I have to look at where people are stacked and all that. But I would be shocked if he didn't top 20 this thing. This is a perfect spot for him. He can't putt, but he's going to make it hit every fairway and every green.
Yeah. He hits it like just straight enough.
Yeah, it's perfect. Okay.
Scott and Woods rounding out the top of the board.
We have four more guys.
Four more.
Oh, yeah, we have three really old dudes and Terrell Hatton.
All right, I'm listening.
Adam Scott, anything? I mean, I don't even know why. I mean, it's like he's not winning.
No. I'm not going out.
He peaked at Riv. And then he decided just to go back into the fucking outback of Australia and never fucking play golf again. And now he's back and he's just not as good. I don't really know what else to say. So yeah, that's over. Moving on. Jason Day is interesting here. You don't have any love for Day?
You know what? He showed up.
This is a good spot for him, I think. This is the one that I'm gonna be pissed if he hits.
Did he make what? Patrick Reed made my top 20 actually, so.
I mean, If Patrick Reed's in your top 20 and he's four, you know, whatever. Patrick Reed's mispriced. Burger and Patrick Reed are the two most mispriced guys in this field. It's not even close.
Day did not make it in my top 20.
It's because over his last two tournaments, he lost 7.7 strokes on approach at the BMW and 6.5 on approach at the fucking Northern Trust. Right. You know how bad that is? Like, that's not even like a pro golfer good. Like, it's so bad. But the tournament before the PGA, he gained 8 strokes on approach. I don't understand. Day's a fucking weird dude.
He's a weird dude, but it seems like he's trying to take care of his body. And
so he's just going through the motions in those tournaments, probably?
Might not be a bad spot to each way him or top 5 him. He can see him. I can see his name being up there.
Maybe get great top putter. 10 number. Oh, God, yeah. One of the best ever, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who are the old guys you're talking about?
And I think those memorial, I've heard some people say that the memorial greens, these are more severe, but that's the, of what they've seen post-suspension, the memorial greens are the only thing that's remotely close to these. And that's still not even close, but that's kind of the barometer, I guess.
Okay. Fine with that.
Terrell Hatton, anything? Man. Fucking love him.
I mean, maybe I'm not in a rush to hop on one on an outright. I mean, I'll put him in the bullpen, but
one in hard conditions at the API, Arnold Palmer, right? I think he didn't. I mean, it was like, I think his winning score was like 10 under or something. Grind. Remember that Sunday? Remember how much of a fucking grind it was?
Oh, my model had him 14th actually.
I'm telling you, dude, this guy is a monster. He's a great putter. I mean, he's kind of like he talk about a little bit of a hothead, but he dominated the Euro Tour. Come over here, wins the API, which, I mean, that's a big time big boy golf tournament. He's primed. I'm not sure if he's going to be here or not, but I bet him. I bet him at
50.
40. And he's currently at
40.
35. Well, 40. You can still get him at 40s. That's perfect.
Okay. I can be sold on Mr. Hutton.
Yeah.
From Ravishaw, England.
these guys, these European guys, I think should fit them, right? Because they play difficult golf courses over there. I don't really know. I've never been there, but like when it's windy and blowing and fucking raining, aren't those courses played pretty hard where a par matters?
Yeah.
I don't know what they play normally because I don't follow that shitty ass tour, but
they don't. I mean, I'm not going to say they're all hard. I will say that there's probably 7 or 8 really tough tournaments over there.
Okay. And I'm talking more like what they grow up playing than what they actually play. But
yeah, they play in some blustery conditions for sure.
Okay, cool. I like that. You can get up and down, man. Okay. And then last but not least, the GOAT. You have a drop for the GOAT? I don't know. I mean, he has to have his own drop.
Tiger time.
No fucking chance.
No chance. I fell for him.
He
might be
a fade. I mean, he's the greatest of all time.
Didn't he win his matchup at the thing?
I don't even know. I mean, he makes the cuts and he just fucking DFLs. He's so fucking good at hitting his irons. It's like, Tiger, you're still one of the best on approach in the world. It's so crazy. I mean, he can't do anything else. He's like a fucking blind epileptic.
We were at a point where we thought he was done. So like, let's just be happy that he's upright. He can play with his kids and he still has the competitive juices flowing.
Well, the fuck is what's the kid's name? What's his son's name? It's a weird name.
I know. Man, Sam Alexis is the girl.
He's out there just fucking destroying people. Did you see that? Like they keep tweeting his
whatever, bro.
His son's results.
Give me all of the stock on John Daly's son, bro.
Oh yeah, we're talking sons. Yeah, John Daly's son looks like he's ready to. He kind of looks like a John Rahm, honestly.
John Daly's son looks like a beast, bro.
Yeah, he's gonna. I wonder if he goes to Arkansas. Probably should go to Oklahoma State. But anyways. Yeah, Tiger, unfortunately for Tiger, he's a terrible putter all of a sudden. He was never a great putter, but he was like the clutchest putter ever. So, you know, he can't drive the ball anymore. The dude doesn't get off the tee very well. He's going to have to do that. And I love him. Yeah. But this is not the place.
No. So just rounding out the cards.
Okay. Let's do a recap, right? Because we never recap and people get pissed about that.
I know what you guys are trying to do. You're trying to fast forward.
That's it.
We're trying to get you to listen. Hey, look,
as long as you get this shit all the way downloaded, you can fucking do anything you want with this thing. Just downloads. That's all we care about. I have Rahm, Bryson from a long time ago, Reed, Webb from a long time ago, Hatton, Berger from a long time ago, and 2 guys that we'll talk about tomorrow.
Okay. I have Rahm. I'm gonna go back in on Colin.
Oh, you're gonna try one up.
I have Bryson, Berger.
You better have Haddon.
No, I'm gonna wait on Haddon. I'm gonna take Reed and Day.
Okay,
man. And then, still kind of the same class. And I'm kind of, you know what? I'm actually gonna wait on Reed and Day, but they're gonna be on the card eventually as soon as they, you know, get off to decent starts.
Can't Reed just go nuclear though, real quick? Day 2. Yeah. Day was the first round leader at fucking the PGA.
Boy, I was so mad about that. He was on my outright card.
Yeah, he fell off a little bit. But yeah, I don't hate it at all. Day is he's gonna be sneaky here. I wanted to get him one at 40, but I went with these two young guns that we'll talk about tomorrow over him. And I'm confident in that. Well, the guys are ballers, so.
Okay.
Until tomorrow, or what? Are we done?
That being, unless you got something else to talk about today.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. That being said, part 1 of the U.S. Open preview is done. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Yes, sir.
Like, subscribe, share, and review.
Please.
Matter of fact, I'm gonna do a contest this week.
Oh, baby.
Shoot a screenshots of the review you left.
Okay.
And I'm gonna give a giveaway. And I always come through on my giveaways.
Okay.
first five reviews, screenshot. Thank you very much. Anything else, JD?
But send to your DM, your Twitter?
Either one of us.
Okay, cool. Twitter. I love it. Well, how about this? I like this. Let's run up this. I will give a $20 bet to a golfer of your choice.
Oh.
Is that not enough?
Well, free rollish. Shit, what do you mean? That could turn into...
to any golfer, and it has to be a book that I use, so I'll give you the numbers. If you review and screenshot the first, not the first five, the first person. Okay. I'm not fucking rich. The first person gets a free $20 bet on any golfer they want. I mean, that's pretty cool, I would say.
Wow.
So the first person who DMs me or Haven with their screenshot of their review gets a $20 bet of their choosing. They can take any player they want. And the odds are going to have to be, I'll give them the odds. There's only three places you can place this bet. I will give you the odds. It'll be through my account, and I will pay you out if it wins. Okay. $20 free roll for a fucking screenshot. How hard is this shit?
Thank you guys so much.
Let's go.
That being said, we out.
Peace out.
Haven on a track.
Same bat time, same bat channel. For Profit Podcast, we coming in hot and right to your speakers. Got a lot of options. Well, I heard them all and no one can beat us. Got Haven B hitting them drops, guaranteed to make you laugh. Yeah, don't forget JD, he dropping F-bombs, we know how to cap. Yeah, funny, smart at the same time. Picking winners at the finish line. Making guap for y'all every week. Listen up every time we speak. I don't know where you get your information from. Now, if you bought that cash, then listen up. Come get you some. F-O-R-E-P-R-O-F-I-T podcast. We the one that finished first. Some other ones they finished last. F-O-R-E-P-R-O-F-I-T podcast. We the one who finished first. Some other ones they finished last.